So we'll invite you to open your Bible at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. There's two ways of reading the Psalm 23. You can put the emphasis on the personal pronouns that apply to the reader, or the personal pronouns that apply to the Lord. And it makes sometimes a difference. What I'm going to do is read this, put in the emphasis on the pronouns referring to the reader or the writer, and we are the readers. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I trust that you've been able to put your own name and your own situation right in there, and that this psalm will be a comfort and a word of grace to your own soul as we come to worship the Lord today, to look onto the Lord Jesus, who is our shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now, can you imagine as the Lord spoke that to Jewish-minded people who probably knew Psalm 23 off by heart? And as the Lord said, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Everyone would have known exactly what he was claiming in that very I am. And so I trust today that this word will come right to your heart as well. So we're going to unite in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord to minister to us this morning. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our shepherd, and how we can rejoice today that because he is our shepherd, we shall not want, we shall not lack any good thing. And we thank thee for the ministry of grace to our hearts, to lift us out of the gutter of sin, away from the world, and to lead us in that narrow path that leads to heaven and glory. We thank thee for everyone here today who is on that narrow path, who is redeemed by the blood of the shepherd, the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. We thank thee, O Lord, for your amazing and incalculable love, that you would give your life to protect us and deliver us from all evil and condemnation. We praise thee today for the power of the gospel within our own hearts and lives. And Lord, we lament and we cry out for those who do not have this power of the gospel in them. They still cling to the world. They still love their sins. They still want to be in rebellion to God. Oh, Father, we pray for miracles of grace that will turn hearts to the Savior. We pray for that saving grace to be at work in each and every soul. We pray that you will draw near to us now in this morning service, that you will sanctify our hearts, our thoughts, our desires, and that the words of our lips, even in praise today as well as prayer, but as we open the hymnal and sing these great hymns, Lord, give unto us the spirit of praise and of thanksgiving. Forgive us, wherein we murmur and complain. Forgive us, O Lord, for an unbelieving attitude at times. Oh, we pray that even now that you will fill us full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and give unto us minds and hearts that are saturated and indeed that are empowered by the indwelling of the Spirit, that you would lift us heavenward today into heavenly experiences with thyself. Lord, we're tired of the old, same old ways. We pray that you'll do a new thing and that you will revive us again. Oh, Lord, we pray for revival in our own hearts. Lord, we desire it for our nation, but, oh, God, in our hearts, we pray firstly that thou will revive us, that you will not allow us to decline into worldly thinking, unbelieving thinking, but that thou will give to us a blessed, blessed joy in the Holy Ghost to live unto God and to die to sin. We do pray for our nation today. We pray for your grace. Oh, Lord, that you will give us leaders that will lead this nation in a path of righteousness. And we pray that you will work in these times. Bless the preaching of the gospel across this nation, we pray. And grant, Lord, that your name will be exalted, that sinners will be turned unto thee, and that the name of Jesus will be magnified. So come and bless us. Draw near to us in this time of worship. Bless every soul, those who are here in our midst, and those who join us by webcast. O Lord, graciously move today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. And if you're outside the Lower Mainland, we are thankful for this opportunity to bring the message to you wherever you may be in Canada. The Lord has opened up doors for us to preach this word locally here in Greater Vancouver, Vancouver Island, Northwest Washington, and in Calgary, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Toronto, New Brunswick, Fredericton, and St. John, and also in the Maritimes. A number of repeater stations carry the message into various areas, and we're thankful for these opportunities. I trust you will pray that God will bless His Word and use it for His kingdom. Our desire is to preach the cross, to preach the gospel, to tell men and women everywhere the good news that Jesus saves. And it is our delight to expound the purpose of God sending His Son and giving Him to become a sacrifice on the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus did not merely die or give His life as an example. No, He was a substitutionary offering. Jesus stood in my place and in the place of all who will look to Him for salvation. And I hope that today that you will hear this good news, this way by which God has opened up a plan of salvation to save your soul and to bring you one day to heaven. Will you take heed today, and may the Lord open your heart to receive the Lord as your Savior. Now, at the close of the message, if you are interested and are burdened for your soul, feel free to give me a call or send me an email. I would be delighted to help you in your quest to know the way of salvation. May the Lord speak to your heart today from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. A delight, and it certainly was the right message for the funeral service on Friday. In John 3:16, you have the gospel in a nutshell. You have every component of the gospel. You have God, you have His Son, you have the giving, the grace, you have the believing, the saving, that we will not perish but have everlasting life. But for some reason, as you read on down here in chapter 3, Nicodemus got everything back to front. Instead of getting it right in his mind, although he was a Jewish ruler and obviously an educated and a capable man, yet when it came to receiving this knowledge of the gospel, he got it back to front. And he must have thought that because God sent His Son into the world, that men would be worse off.
that there would be those who would be, as Jesus said, condemned. Because a number of times the Lord deliberately corrected that thinking by saying that the Lord did not come to condemn, but rather to save. Now, why would he have to put it that way unless Nicodemus just wasn't getting it? I wonder, are you getting it? Have you ever had those thoughts that you are worse off because Jesus came into the world? It's like the man who every time he walks down the street, he crosses the road when he passes the church in case he gets converted. And he's afraid that something will happen to him because he's in the very vicinity of that place of worship. Now, the gospel will send no man to hell. As J.C. Ryle put it, there is no decreed reprobation excluding anyone from heaven. Now, I believe in election as much as any man. I believe that in the sovereignty of God, he has foreordained and decreed those whom he will save. But that is not a decree to condemn. And the Lord goes a long way in this passage to show that. And perhaps the key word would be whosoever. Whosoever. What a wonderful word that is. And you know, that word means you as much as me. That means any man you may ever meet, and you can say to him, whosoever believeth shall be saved. God has not sent his Son to bring darkness, because Jesus is the light of the world. And wherever the name of Jesus is preached, it brings light. And if men will refuse the light to go on in the darkness, then their condemnation is their own doing. And no one will stand on the judgment day and say that heaven was closed to him, that there was no invitation to him, that there was no opportunity given for him or her to be saved and to be right with God. Rather, there will be multitudes who will have to acknowledge that they never wanted to go to heaven, because when the light came, they ran from it, because evil men love darkness. And that is the explanation that the Lord gave to Nicodemus. And the Lord had to deal with this wrong thinking in Nicodemus' mind. Now, as we look at these verses, in verse 18 through 21, spoken to Nicodemus, by the way, as this chapter is, may the Holy Spirit deliver us from back-to-front thinking, getting the wrong end of the message about the plan of salvation. And we pray for the Lord to speak through these verses to get our thinking straight and our understanding on a good foundation. Firstly, we will learn here the true cause of condemnation. It was not God sending his Son that condemned souls. Let's just let that sink in. Any man who ends up in a lost, hopeless, godless eternity will not rightly be able to say that they are there because God sent his Son into the world. There is no decree or no purpose of God to send any man to hell. That is not a decision, a decree, a plan that was concocted in the heart of God. That is not God's decision or determination. After all, the gospel is a covenant of grace. Now, grace means undeserving mercy. And to take any meaning that grace can be negative, grace can be dark, grace can be condemnation, is to just turn the meaning of a word upside down and destroy its real significance. We can say that God loves all his creatures, There is a sense in which we can say that God loves all men, that he desires no ill will, he desires no condemnation, no damnation of any man. Indeed, all are pleaded with, "Why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Everyone is exhorted to come. The Lord Jesus, when he saw the city of Jerusalem from that pinnacle, as he went over the hilltop and the city came into view, we are told that Jesus wept. And he said, "O Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee, as a hen gathereth her brood, but ye would not." And so that city's future destruction was due to its own hardness and its own corruption. Now, it was not the son question, but it's the sin question. We're told here that sinners are condemned already. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And really, that just answers it all. Before Jesus came, before the world came, before Christ came into the world, it was conceived in Mary's womb, men were condemned already. Sin was already in the world. And its curse, its effects, its darkness, its rebellion to God was all over the world. Adamic nature, that fallen, cursed nature of Adam, passed on to each and every generation, right down to today, and men perish because of the sin question, not the son question. Now, obviously, if you reject the remedy, if you reject the medicine, then you're not going to be delivered from your disease. But it's not the medicine that kills, it's the disease that kills. And it is sin in the heart, it is man's corruption and his depravity, his rebellion to God, that really brings him down. Now, we're told here why. Not only are we given the fact of it, but we are told why. Look at verse 19. Would you read that verse 19 with me? "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light." And of course, that was seen in how men treated the Lord Jesus. The Jews, they called him a hypocrite. They scandalized him. They rejected him. And of course, they stirred up the people to cry out, "Crucify him." The whole Jewish leadership did not like the light that Jesus brought into the world. And men ended up crucifying the Son of God. Why? Because they loved darkness. Their deeds were evil. And the Lord Jesus brought and exposed their very sin. Now, Christ is, by his light, by his message, by his gospel, the hope of the world. And that is the full answer that men and women are brought into a right standing with God. But sinners don't want it. That's why when you go down to Langley, to Willowbrook, the parking lot of the mall will be jammed. You may not even find a parking spot in that huge mall area on a Sunday. The parking lot of a gospel church, you'll have no problem finding a spot. It is man does not want to receive the light. The light has come, but men love darkness. And of course, the atheist likes it because he's able to say there is no God. The atheist loves darkness rather than light. The humanist, the same in his manner of reasoning, in his manner of thinking, he rules out God. And we are now living in Canada in a humanistic society. In the classroom, from kindergarten to the university class, humanism is now the philosophy and the doctrine, and it rules God out. Jesus came, he brings the light and the knowledge and the true revelation of God, but men don't want it. They turn to their own way. Because why is that? Why do they not want it? Because their deeds are evil. Did you see that in verse 19? Because their deeds are evil. Men love their sinful ways. They love their sin. They love to dabble in the world. They want the pleasures, the vices, the experience of following after the what they call the delights of this world. But really, it is a plague in the human heart that when we are born into this world, the world is born in us. Did you know that? In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about the world in the heart of man. And that's how you and all men are born, with a love of this world. And that's the darkness. Men hate the light. I've probably told this story before, but when I was growing up on a farm, in winter evenings, one of our activities was to go rat hunting. And we would go out into the barns and the cattle sheds, and of course those rats would be in the feeding troughs, and there was a technique we always used. You need at least three people to man two ends of the building and someone to flip the light. And so when you would go in there, you get into position first, and then you flip the light. And then the rats, they try to get their exit. Why? Because they hate the light. Their deeds are evil. They want their rebellious ways, and they run for it. And of course, that's the heart of man. That's why man runs from God and despises the gospel and turns the other way. And so it takes a great miracle to bring a man like Nicodemus, and indeed all men, all sinners, out of that condition of rebelling against God, loving the darkness, hating the light. It takes a great miracle to bring that person out of that state of condemnation into peace with God and the knowledge of God. I hope that you have experienced that miracle. Now, if you are the least little bit uncomfortable as I talk to you about the darkness, the love of sin, the love of the world, and your need to turn from those, if you are the least bit uncomfortable, and that's the popular word, isn't it? It's an uncomfortable truth. It's an inconvenient truth. If you're wriggling in your seat right now as I speak of your need to turn to the knowledge of God, when the light comes on, that means you need to be converted. You need to be saved. You need to be delivered from the ways of this world. Now, in these verses, you will see that Jesus is the cure for man's condemnation. He's the cure, going back to verse 16 and 17. Well, you know verse 16 so well. It is the great gospel text. And then verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it was because of man's condemnation, it was because he was so lost, that God sent his Son out of unconditional love. Not because he saw some good in men or sinners, but God moved in mercy despite our lost, dark, sin-loving condition, that he sent his Son into the world. And the cure for man's lost condition is twofold, two things. One, the cross. The other, a new heart. And you'll know how the Lord said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And he emphasized it again. I say unto you, ye must be born again. So he preached to him the cure, the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and the people were cured, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And there in verse 14, Jesus preached the cross. His own death, his own sacrifice, his own pouring out his blood. That was to deal with the guilt of sin. That was to reconcile God in his holiness to the heart of man in his sinfulness, and to bring them together to be at one with God. That's the need for the cross. But the other aspect was the new heart, the miracle of regeneration. And the two must happen. Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Ian Gollaher. I have in my hand a little booklet called A New Beginning. It's a small booklet of about 32 pages, and I just want to read to you the first paragraph. To be saved and sure of it is the greatest blessing a person can have this side of heaven. Moses recognized this when he addressed the Israelites of his day. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. There are no people like God's people, those whom he has redeemed by the blood of his Son, and sealed with his Spirit, assuring them of his saving favor now and forever. This booklet opens up the way of salvation, how God sees men, and there are various headings with Bible verses. It's not the reasoning of man. It is the Word of God laid out very clearly that the reader may understand how God sees them or how God sees you as you read through these opening few pages. And then you have God's way of salvation. Now, here again, you have little headings. God's way of salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the text, John 14:6, where it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And then the next verse is 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And as you go through the booklet, it comes to how you may receive Christ as your Savior, recognize your need, confess your sin, repentance, and restoration. And then assurance of salvation, how you can be absolutely sure and without a doubt that you are saved, born again, ready for heaven. I'd love to send you this little book, A New Beginning. Just send me an email, give me your mailing address, or give me a phone call. I look forward to hearing from you. And may the Lord bless you richly and lead you to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.